RNZ Pacific News, Manoa Lele, I'm Sel Manutev, I'm Tau Fai. The New Zealand Governor-General has welcomed a large crowd to Wellington's Pukehahu National War Memorial Park this morning. Dame Cindy Kiro acknowledged the 250,000 New Zealanders who served in war and peacekeeping operations from the Gallipoli campaign up to the present day. Bill Hickman reports.
Dawn services are being held all across the country this Anzac Day morning. In her address in Wellington, Dame Cindy says every New Zealand community has been touched by the country's involvement in war and peacekeeping since armed forces landed in Gallipoli 109 years ago. She says the impact of that early campaign remains a part of our collective memory well beyond the passing of those directly involved.
International experts expect dengue cases to increase. Samoa announced an outbreak of the infection last week, with more than 80 new cases reported in the first 2 weeks of April. Tiana Haxton has more.
Medical advisor Dr. Joan Ingram says overall dengue cases have increased sixfold since 2000, and there have been 69 outbreaks across the Pacific region between 2012 and 2021. She expects cases will continue to increase with climate change and urbanisation. Cameron Simmons of the World Mosquito Program recommends his organisation's Wolbachia method, which involves introducing a virus-blocking bacteria into mosquito populations. He says this most recent surge in Samoa is troubling because numbers will inevitably increase, stressing the health system and hurting the well-being of patients and their families.
Palau has renewed calls for a moratorium on deep-sea mining, stressing it's a dire threat to deep-sea ecosystems. Speaking at the Our Ocean Conference in Greece last week, President Surango Whips Jr. said deep-sea mining could cause irreversible damage. Whips garnered support from various countries like Brazil, Costa Rica, France and Vanuatu, who echoed his concerns and urged others to join the cause. According to the Island Times, Whips sees a pivotal moment to discuss and potentially enact measures to halt deep-sea mining activities with the upcoming assembly of the International Seabed Authority. Papua New Guinea superannuation operator Nambawan Super Limited says about 1,000 families will have to move from the Bushwara settlement in Port Moresby by mid-July. Managing Director Paul Sayer says in total about 5,000 people would be affected. The company, which has owned the land for more than 30 years, is planning a complete new suburb on the more than 200-hectare site. It values the site at 90 million kina, or about $23 million. Mr. Sayer says Nambawan Super is planning to follow on its original plan for the site from 1990.
It's not just looking at housing, but also there would be other developments there to accommodate a community that's been built. So things like shopping centres, you need to have potentially some commercial as well as then parks, and you're looking at also things like schools and the other facilities that would be normally required in a community.
Submissions are being called for on a bill that would restore New Zealand citizenship to thousands of Samoans. The Citizenship Western Samoa Act 1982 bill passed its first reading earlier this month. It would enable Samoans whose New Zealand citizenship was removed by the Act to receive their New Zealand citizenship on application. The bill impacts between 3,500 to 5,000 Samoan seniors who were born between 1924 and 1949. Submissions close on Friday, May 31 at midnight. Australian police have arrested seven youths and are questioning five more people following raids linked to a stabbing at a church last week. Officers said the suspects were part of a network that shared a violent, extremist ideology motivated by religion. Last week, a 16-year-old boy was charged with a terror offence over an attack on a bishop at the Assyrian Orthodox Church in Sydney. In world news, Ukraine's president has called for the fast delivery of military assistance after the US Senate passed a long-awaited aid bill. Volodymyr Zelensky said every leader who does not waste time is a lifesaver. The package is worth $61 billion. The BBC's James Waterhouse says Ukrainian officials have welcomed its passage.
They do appreciate this aid finally coming from America. They're describing Washington as being the beacon for democracy. But then, you have what Ukrainian generals are saying in terms of expectation management. I think that's very much at play here, where they are talking about the need for Ukraine to simply stabilise its front lines, because at the moment, figuratively speaking, they have their backs to Russia as they are trying to dig new defensive lines, new trenches across the east.
In New York, Gaza war protesters have vowed to remain at Columbia University until their demands are met, despite mass arrests and disciplinary action. More than 100 students were arrested at a Columbia protest encampment last week, followed by dozens more at Yale and New York University in recent days. Many at Columbia have been suspended, prompting vocal calls for disciplinary measures to be dropped. Some students on campus have reported anti-Semitic harassment from protesters. In sport, despite languishing at the bottom of the Super Rugby table, Crusaders coach Rob Penny refuses to accept he's under any extra pressure and believes they can still win the competition. There have been calls for Penny to be sacked, with the defending champs having won just one of their seven games.
I've got a lot of belief in the group. I trust them implicitly. I don't have any doubt that they're capable of, as I said, winning the competition. I think the coaching staff are doing an amazing job under all sorts of pressure. And I think, we're just small margins away, and we're just, hopefully, Friday night will be the moment that we get the turn.
The Crusaders play the Rebels in Christchurch on Friday night. The Fijiana Indaroa women are already in Brisbane to finalise preparations for their third Super W competition final since 2022. Although they had lost to the Waratahs in the round-robin series, head coach Mosese Arauluni says he believes the team that turns up and plays the full 80 minutes will win the final clash.
It was a very heavy loss, and I think the girls have learned from that. Playing at home, you've got to do the hard work before anything happens. So that day we were way off the mark, and I think they've developed really well. And as I said before, New South Wales has been the benchmark team for the whole competition, and everyone's felt their wrath. So obviously a grand final is a different story. It's whoever turns up. You've got to be on song for the 80 minutes. If you're not, there's no second chances.
The two teams meet in the final on Sunday afternoon. The Cleary name will once again feature at the Warriors, with the youngest son of former coach and fullback Ivan signing a three-year deal with the Auckland club from next season. The 17-year-old Jet Cleary is transferring from the Penrith Panthers, where Ivan is a three-time premiership winner alongside eldest son Nathan. Jet Cleary had been linked with a move to the Warriors since last year and currently plays halfback in the Panthers under-19 side. That's your latest RNZ Pacific News and Sport. For more stories, go to rnzi.com.